Well, greetings and welcome once again to our virtual worship service. I'm Pastor Tim Sir from the First Congregational Church in Cresco and the Saratoga Community Church. Glad to be with you this way this morning. Again, we're in the middle of this corona pandemic thing. It's got a lot of things closed down, but church did open up again last week, and it was great to have people actually in these pews to preach to and to worship with. But I'm so glad that you're able to participate in this way. And wherever you are, whenever you watch this, what we're going to learn today from the Apostle Peter is going to be relevant and helpful and actually crucial and critical to your being able to enjoy this life on earth and be fruitful to the Lord and in His kingdom. And so I'm so glad that you've tuned in this morning. Will you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you've created. I thank you for this moment right now where we together are going to be in your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would come and by your Holy Spirit, you would speak to us through your living word, that you would speak to each person right now, right where they're at with what they're going through, and show them who you are and show them why they ought to trust in you, why they ought to turn to you and find in you what they're lacking, what they're looking for. And so God, open the eyes of our hearts to see the truth this morning. Give me the grace that I need to have the gift of preaching and teaching your word, and give each person once again the grace they need to have the eyes of their hearts open so they can receive from you life and truth and freedom and peace. So Lord, bless our study of your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, today we're going to return to 1 Peter, so if you want to grab your Bibles and open up there. I remember years ago hearing for the first time a little saying, life is hard and then you die. Now, that's a philosophy that human beings, some have embraced throughout human history. But when you hear that, there's a note of futility in it, isn't there? You know, life's hard, it's really, really bad, and then you die. It's like there's no hope. Now, a Christian can actually say that because it's true. Life is hard, and then you die. But we can say this with a note of victory. Now, Paul Tripp, in his Wednesday's word this week, I thought said something that was going to tie in nicely with what we're going to study this morning. Suffering can be so hard for us. The pain, whether physical, emotional, relational, or spiritual, can become heart and life dominating. We can be distracted by it, fixated upon it. Suffering will greet you in the morning, nag you throughout the day, and pull the last groan out of you before you fitfully sleep, assuming you can sleep at all. And all this pain tempts you to spend too much time and energy wishing for what once was and craving what others have that you've lost. Have you ever felt as if what is will always be? Now, that's an understandable emotion in the moment of frustration, grief, and suffering, but it's fundamentally unbiblical. And I'd like to agree with that. You know, this pandemic that we're in, it's scary. Some of you, the effects of the pandemic are scarier still. It can be your life situation, all the trials and temptations that you're facing now, perhaps because of this, or just outside of this. Whatever grief or loss or disappointment, any anxiety-producing uncertainties, broken dreams. Many of you, your life has been so radically changed by this, and things were canceled that you had your heart set upon, that you had worked hard for. Strained relationships, financial pressures, on and on. And what the Apostle Peter is trying to do here is encourage Christians, those first century Christians awaiting Nero's persecution coming at them from Rome, living with all the kind of difficulties that you and I face day after day after day. Peter is trying to encourage them by offering them pearls with which they can adorn their lives so that when people look at them, they'll see God at work in them. They'll see Christ alive in them. And so that they can be fruitful again for God right in the midst of it all. And that's what we're looking for today as well. But we cannot adorn ourselves with these good pearls if we don't experience them first. And what we're going to study today ought to help you do that if you open your heart up to it. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to focus in on verses 10 and 11 today. There's a lot of stuff here we're going to unpack. So let's look at these verses. 1 Peter 5, 10 and 11. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, the first word, and, in verse 10 actually would be better translated, but. It was used Peter used it 28 other times in his letter, and it's always translated, but. It's making a contrast, a distinct contrast with something he has just said. So back up a bit to verse 8. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So that's the threat that's out there. That is real. That's active right now in the midst of this pandemic in probably a million ways that we don't understand. The devil is out there attacking God's people. He is attacking you. Now look at verse 9. But, same word as we find in verse 10, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. What you're experiencing is normal, as we're going to see in a moment. But now he begins verse 10 with, but. So you know that everybody else is going through difficulties as well. But, he says, after you have suffered for a little while, and this leads us to number one in your outline, the promise of God. He's promising something to us here in verse 10. But, after you have suffered for a little while. So the first promise he's making here, letter A, is present suffering. Doesn't sound like a very good promise. But Jesus said the same thing. Jesus said, if you follow me, people will hate you just as they hate me. Jesus promised that if we come after him, we are going to be persecuted. And he also, in the Sermon on the Mount, asserted the fact that every day is going to have enough trouble of its own. So one of the promises of God is present time suffering. Look back at chapter 1, verse 6 for a moment. In 1:6, he uses that little phrase, a little while. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, while you're here presently on the earth, even though now for a little while, you, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. So, back to chapter 5, verse 10, but after you have suffered for a little while. So, he's not denying that it isn't hard, but he's saying that it is brief. These things are temporal. We're experiencing temporal things. Therefore, they are, by definition, temporary. They're not going to last forever. Now, it seems like it's endless, but it is relatively short-lived. And we'll come back to that in a little while. But that's encouraging, isn't it? But God does promise, so to just be aware of that truth, we can embrace the truth and the reality that God promises present suffering. Now, as we move on, just think of that little phrase again. But after you have suffered for a little while, that phrase is pregnant with another promise. But after you have suffered for a little while, so it seems like he's about to say there's going to be some relief. And therefore, the second promise we find here, letter B, is prospective, we can look forward to it, prospective solace. S-O-L-A-C-E, solace. That is an easing of grief and loneliness or discomfort. Solace would be then consolation or comfort or relief. So in this little phrase, but after, the word after is the clue, after you have suffered, which you're going to, for a little while, now something good is going to happen. We're going to receive solace. How? One illustration that I return to frequently and I think is such a great analogy of the Christian life is that of a jigsaw puzzle. Remember, just quickly, God has created a jigsaw puzzle. That is reality from God's perspective. So he has the box and the picture is on the front of the container. Okay, God knows what that picture is like. You and I have all the pieces here, and as we go through life following the Lord, he helps us put more and more pieces of this jigsaw puzzle together. In fact, every time we're together in the Word, every time you're in the Word, your prayer ought to be, Lord, show me what to do with at least one piece of this puzzle. Help me get it closer to where it belongs. And as you look at this puzzle, I don't have the whole thing put together yet. That's a lifetime pursuit of studying God's Word, growing in the knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord. But as I do look at it, I do know, because this is what the Bible teaches so clearly, but you must be reminded of, especially when you're in the middle of difficult circumstances. And that is that the very center of the puzzle is the person of God. That's what we're always going to try to return to. That's where you always need to go. When you're struggling, who is God? That's number two on your outline, the person of God. That's where Peter takes us repeatedly. But after you have suffered for a little while, he brings us right to the middle of the puzzle, right to the center of everything, right to the thing that's going to ground us. But the God of all grace, after you suffer for a little while, the God of all grace. So that's letter A. God is, who is God? He is the possessor and the source of all grace. Turn back to chapter 4, verse 10. We talked about this many weeks ago. As each one has received a special gift, a special grace, employ it, put it to work in serving one another as good stewards, to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The many, many colored, the variegated. Right now it's a little bit dry outside. There's a fire ban warning. We need rain. So where's the rain going to come from? It's not going to just seep up from the ground, from the center of the earth. Rain is going to come from the clouds. So as you check your phone or your tablet, you know, for the weather report, and you look at it, you're looking for, there's a lot of full sunshine there, and then there's a little bit of cloud. But what you want, if you want rain, is you want to see those clouds, you want to see little blue droplets coming out of it, maybe some lightning flashes coming from it. The only place we're going to get rain is from the clouds. Now, similarly, what we really need is grace. I pointed that out a few weeks ago. Grace is to the human being like gasoline is to the internal combustion engine. You, I need God's grace at every moment just to exist. And that grace isn't going to come from any place, any person, but God. And that's what Peter reminds Christians of here, the person of God. He is the possessor, letter A, the possessor. He has it all. And he is the source of all grace. After you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace. In chapter 1, verse 13, remember when I was preaching on the resurrection, we found that at the end of verse 13, fix your hope completely on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when God comes, When Jesus returns, he will bring with him this huge shipment of grace that we're going to receive. And everything else we're going to talk about today is part of that grace that God is going to give us. So listen, friend. Who are you looking to for help? Are you looking to the government? Are you looking to the medical doctors and the experts? Are you looking for a vaccine? Oh, once the vaccine is, then the whole world will be set right. Then everything will be perfect. Everything will be good. The suffering will end. Listen, friend, what we need, no matter what we're going through, is God's grace. And we have to go to God to get it. Which kind of introduces the next question. How can I know if I'm in God's good graces? God gives his grace generally to all people, causes his sun to shine on the evil and the good, sends rain upon the righteous and the unrighteous, Jesus said. So there's a sense in which he blesses everybody. But the grace that Peter is talking about is the grace that only a Christian can receive and enjoy and experience. And so, how can I know whether this is for me? Well, look at the next phrase. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, this is something that he did because of who he is, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus. All right, look back to chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Who is God? He's the letter B, if you're going to fill out your outline. He is the caller. This is a meaningful phrase. It's a little awkward. But he is the caller unto eternal glory. That's how Peter words it in our text for today. He's the caller unto eternal glory in Christ. We'll come back to that. But look at chapter 1, the end of verse 1. He's talking to all Christians scattered throughout the civilized Roman Empire at the time in modern-day Turkey, who are chosen. Okay, chosen by who? Obviously by God. How? According to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So God the Father knew the Christian. He knew his children before the foundation of the world. He chose them and knew them. And then this, hold your right hand here in chapter 5, verse 10, and go back with me to Romans chapter 8. Turn in your Bibles if you want to follow. Go back to Romans chapter 8, and we'll be looking at verses 29 and 30. We're establishing the fact that God is not only the God of all grace, but he's also the one who calls, he's the caller unto eternal glory in Christ. So look at Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he foreknew, that's what Peter said, he foreknew the Christians, he chose them. Whom he foreknew, he also predetermined to become conformed to the image of his Son, in order that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now he continues on. Now those that he chose, he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of Christ, verse 30, and whom he predestined, these he also called. So if you're a Christian, it's because he called you. These he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified. He brought you to Jesus. You believed in Jesus. Your sins were forgiven. You were made right before God. These he justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. It's as good as done. God has already done that for you. We're not going to experience the full extent of that until Jesus returns and we receive our resurrection bodies. But the point Peter is making here is that when you're experiencing the present suffering that God promises you, and you want to experience that prospective solace that he's also promising you, You have to look to the person of God. And who is God? He is the possessor and the source of all grace, which is what you need, and He will give you. And He is the caller unto eternal glory in Christ. Now, this is important. Keep your hand here in 1 Peter again and go back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. So you were in Romans. Just go forward to 1 Corinthians into 2 Corinthians. And let me quote to you from chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians, I'm giving you a little time to turn there for those of you out there that are turning. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. Listen carefully. This is so encouraging. You need to hear this. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction, like Peter is saying, even though you suffer for a little while, Paul calls it momentary and light affliction, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, they're temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So go back to our text. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ. And we can't move on before we focus in on that. My expositor's commentary said this: God called us in Christ. Watch for this phrase in the Scriptures over and over and over again. That is, through spiritual union with Christ, the glory is promised to those who are one with Christ. For the glory is Christ's, and His members then will share it. The very end and purpose of our calling was that we might inherit that glory. This is the apostles' great topic of consolation. Isn't that beautiful? That's how Peter is encouraging these first century Christians. That's how the Holy Spirit, through Peter, wants to encourage you today. But after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, the possessor and source of all grace, is also the caller unto eternal glory. That is where we're headed in Christ. So Peter is encouraging with who God is, what He already did, called you to His eternal glory in Christ, and now He wants to bring us to what God will do. That'll be number three. The promised performance of God. The promised performance of God. After you have suffered for a little while, verse 10, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself, and the Himself is emphatic, He will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So let's unpack those four things, the promised performance of God. Let's unpack those now together. When we experience hardship and trauma, it takes a lot out of us. All kinds of things go on within us physiologically. Adrenaline gets pumped in, we get nervous and anxious, and you know, physiological changes like increased heartbeat and breathing patterns and blood pressure increases. All those things happen, and they take a lot out of you physically and emotionally and spiritually. That's just a reality. They drain you. That's why we talk about burnout, and burnout can last the rest of a person's life. We talk about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. It can be something that sticks with a person forever, for the rest of their earthly life. And so when you're feeling that way, the first thing that God is going to do, the first performance that God promises us, is letter A. And I've worded the first two a little differently than our translation, and I'll explain why a little later. But I think the word restore, maybe I like a little better. So look at verse 10. He himself, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, or, letter A, restore. Now, this word was familiar to Peter. Back in Mark chapter 1, verse 19, I'll just tell you the story. Jesus was calling his disciples, and he called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were out fishing. And in the next couple of verses, it says that he also called James and John, who were in their fishing boats with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And it uses this word. So this word that I've translated restore means that you're taking something that's lacking, and you're putting back, you're providing what is lacking. Peter would have known this. He had taken his nets how many times, and he had looked, and maybe they were broken here, and I need another piece of rope to fill in this gap here so a fish doesn't slip through it. And he spent much of his time mending his nets. And what he's saying is, friend, believer, when you're depleted, when you're exhausted, when you're worn out, when you've been afraid so long, the anxiety has caused you to be so tired and so discouraged. He's saying that God, this God who has all the grace that you need at that moment, is going to restore you. He is going to, and as we read this, I believe the sense of it is that someday when Jesus returns, God's going to do this work in us fully. And I'm not saying he does have the grace that we need to restore us right now. But I think Peter is primarily promising what God's going to do for us eventually, to encourage us to stick with it now. But that's what God's going to do. He's going to provide everything that is lacking. So the first word is restore. The second word we'll call stabilize. Letter B, stabilize. In Luke chapter 22, verse 32, Jesus said to Peter, when you have returned, because Peter was going to deny Jesus three times, and Peter was cocky and said it would never happen to him, but it was going to, and Jesus predicted that. But he said, but Peter, listen, when you return, strengthen your brothers, or stabilize your brothers. He uses this same word here. To make stand, to set firm, to make steadfast in mind, so that you can't be shaken. Because Jesus was leaving Peter there to encourage the other disciples when they were going through the difficulties that were going to come their way as they were preaching the gospel. And so this is what Peter is promising to us now. The person of God promised to perform this, to stabilize us. When we're shaken up, when we're afraid, this text is saying that he himself will do it. He will stabilize us. So when you're, perhaps right now, you've been anxious about things, you're listening to the news, you're looking at stuff on the internet, you're all confused by some of the stuff you're hearing, you don't know who to believe. You don't know how this is all going to turn out. Turn your heart to the Lord. Look to God. Because he will stabilize you. And one day after we have suffered for a little while, he will ultimately completely stabilize us. Once and for all. The next word will meet our need with God's grace if we're ever feeling weak. Do you ever, as you're just kind of being overwhelmed by all the stuff that's going on in life, and it may be other things totally unrelated to this, you might be living with chronic pain, you might be the victim, so to speak, of circumstances that are totally beyond your control, and they're not at all the way you want them to be. And you just realize how weak you are, how powerless you are to change it all and fix it. Well, the next word that Peter uses is to fill out letter C, strengthen. A is restore. B is stabilize. C is to strengthen. This one's, I think, a little easier to understand. It just means to fill with strength. And that's what we need when we are weak. And what God is trying to teach us is if we look to the person of God who possesses and is the source of all the grace that we will ever need, and he has it for us at every moment, if we will turn to him and ask him for help and receive his grace, he is the one who has called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus. And he's the one who will restore and stabilize, and he is the one who will give us strength. Therefore, we will not be defeated. We will not be overcome. We will not be destroyed. And that we have to know that God will strengthen us even today for the task ahead, just as he spoke to Joshua. Remember when he was sending Joshua into the promised land? He said, do not be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Yeah, they're big and they're strong and they have more soldiers than you do. But be very strong and courageous. Take the land. I'm fighting for you. And the same thing is true with us, Christian. Today, we are on a mission. We are building Christ's church. We are advancing God's kingdom and his cause. And we must be bold and courageous and strong in the Lord. And God will provide the grace that you need to face the challenges that he has right before you in your life. But these difficulties, we're weak. We get shaken up. We can be driven and tossed by the wind. So the last word, letter D, is a word that means to set something firmly in place. So we'll translate it. It's translated well, establish. It would be like if you're going to buy a prefab home and you're going to have it brought in. The first thing you have to do is prepare the site, and you have to put either a basement down or somehow put down the foundation of it. And that's probably going to be made out of cement if you're smart. Okay? And then you can bring in the house and you can set it down, establish it in a firm place. That's what this word means. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7, verse 25 of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, acts upon them, obeys them, will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And then, when the rain descended and the winds blew and burst against that house, it did not fall because it had been founded upon the rock. And what God is saying through Peter to you today is that the God of all grace has everything that you need, who has called you, if you're trusting in Christ, if you're in Christ Jesus, he has called you to his eternal glory. That's his plan for you. And we're suffering for a little while, but you can be assured that God is going to restore you, stabilize you, strengthen you, and take your life and plant it on the rock where you will not be shaken. Now, what will the result be? Well, first, one more comment on these four verbs that we find here, things that God is going to do. They kind of overlap in their meaning. So if I've made a mistake in understanding it, it's not super clear what all of them mean. But listen, Peter is not giving a brain teaser here. He's giving a heart encourager. He's given a life stabilizer by piling up these four verbs, these four things that God is going to perform for you if you're his child and you are trusting in him. And so what Peter is offering us, and the Holy Spirit will do through this, is make it possible for us to, by trusting in the Lord, trusting that he is going to be good for his promises, we can experience Philippians 4, 5 and 6, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind, listen, in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Or literally, in him who strengthens me. Chapter 4, verse 19. And my God, Paul wrote, will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So obviously, there's an invitation here for you to examine your own heart and your own life and come to a firm conclusion as to whether or not you are in Christ Jesus. Right? Are you in Christ? How do I get into Christ? By letting Christ get into you. So friend, before we move on to our last point, settle that issue. Ask yourself, I understand you're nervous and you're scared. We all are. I understand that you have difficulties in your life and you have problems. We all do. Everybody does. These same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. That's life on this earth. Life's hard. And then you die. Is that a hopeless thought for you? Is there a futility about it all? When you think about, here I am, I'm living here on this earth, but what's it all about? Where is it all going? How can I not be completely devastated by the difficulties? The solution is to be in Christ. The God of all grace has offered you the forgiveness of all of your sins. He has offered you reconciliation with himself through Jesus Christ, his Son. He sent his Son. If you come to the Father through the Son, and you come to the one who created you, and you say, forgive me. I know I've sinned. I know I've broken my relationship with you. Please forgive me, Lord. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe he paid my penalty. He washed away the guilt of my sin. I trust in him. I open my heart. I receive Jesus. And when Jesus comes into you in the person of his Holy Spirit, listen, he baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. And now you are in Christ. You're a new creature, Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. You have a new life. You're born again. You're born from above. Have you done that? Make sure you do that. Then you are in Christ. Now you have resources that you didn't have before. Now you're in Christ, and so the possessor and the source of all grace, God, your Father, can minister to you by his Holy Spirit within you all the grace that you need to experience peace and joy right in the midst of this temporary suffering that we do experience and will. And then what will be the result? Well, look at verse 11. Peter says, to him, this God of all grace, to him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, when we say amen because of something somebody else says, what we're saying is, that's true, I agree with that. When the person who's talking says amen, what he's saying is, this is true, you should agree with it. And that's what Peter is doing here. To him, this God of grace, this one who has called us to his eternal glory in Christ, this one who promises to restore, stabilize, strengthen, and establish us, to him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's talk about that just for a moment then. How is that going to help us? What pearl is in there that we need to be able to understand and apply to our lives so that we can proclaim his excellencies as Peter is doing here? Well, the word dominion is it's a word that could be translated power or might or strength, but it's different than dynamis, which is dynamite, power, energeo, the actual exercise of this power to get things done. It's a word, it's kratos, which I think is rightly translated here, dominion, because krator would be the ruler. So the person who has all, God has all the power, he's omnipotent, he has all the grace, he has all the knowledge, he has all the wisdom, he has all power. He's the only one who can give you the strength that you need to get through the stuff of life. And he's the krator, and I think from that we kind of get the word creator. But he is the ruler. And what Peter is doing, he already has all the dominion. He's already the ruler over everything. He's already the sovereign king over the coronavirus and kingdoms and nations and your life and diseases and viruses and death and everything. So he's already that. So what Peter is doing is ascribing to him his dominion. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is true. And therefore, I've called number four, the praise of God. That is what I think Peter is doing. It's overflowing. He's declaring. And I just read in Romans chapter 1 today, it was really interesting to see this little phrase, from faith to faith. The Apostle Paul said, I want to come and visit you so I can give you a gift and I can receive gifts from you, and God can work through me and give you grace and give you grace, give me grace through you, from faith to faith. That's what Peter's doing. He believes all of this is true. He has found it to be true. He's in Rome willing to die for it because he believes that this is true. He has found God to be faithful to do all of this for him. And he's writing to these Christians saying, God will do it for you too if you trust in him. And so then he's just declaring as a spiritual overflow of worship, of adoration. He's saying, to him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. So friend, let's recap all this for a moment. Life is hard. It is. And then you die. What's that going to look like for you? What do you know to be true for sure? That saying can have a note of hope and victory if you have come to Christ and you've received Christ and you are now in Christ. Now, if you have done that, the promise of God is you are going to suffer. Life is going to be hard. It just is. This world is broken. Sin broke it. People broke it by their sins. There is the consequences of sin being lived out all around you and will be until Jesus returns. That's a fact. You need to embrace that. God promises present suffering, but he also promises prospective solace after we have suffered for a little while. It's temporary, it's short, doesn't seem short, but in the light of eternity, it is very short. It's a little while. Then look to the person of God, the God of all grace, has everything you need now and forever. The one who, if you're trusting in Christ, has called you unto his eternal glory in Christ. That's where you're headed. Period. You don't have to be afraid of any of these temporal threats. You are going to experience glory in Christ because Christ is going to receive glory forever. And you'll get to share in that. And God promises both now and when Jesus returns, he'll do this fully and completely. He promises to restore you, put in everything that's lacking or that fell apart. He will stabilize you even though you've been shaky. He will strengthen you because you're so weak, you need him. And he will establish you and set you on that firm foundation upon which you will live forever and ever and ever. So, praise God. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let this encourage you, Lord, friend. Keep up the good work. Do not grow weary in your work for the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. God has a plan for your life. God has a mission for you and for all of us. And we're not going to be sidetracked. We're not going to be distracted by all the stuff going on now, everything that we're hearing in the news. Satan wants to use fear to immobilize you and to keep you from doing what God wants you to do, which is primarily live such a way, walking with Him so closely, with the fruit of the Spirit manifested in your life, so that all of these pearls are just visibly seen by the people around us, many of whom are living in fear. And I know that they're asking Christians, how are you dealing with this? What are you going to say? To respond in such a way that the light of God will shine through you and you'll let your good works glorify Him in it. That's what He wants. So fight the good fight. Finish the course. Keep the faith. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, open each listener's eyes as they have heard the word of the Apostle Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Open the eyes of their hearts, Lord, to receive this truth and allow it to perform its work in those who believe. Give them faith. Strengthen them, restore them, stabilize them, establish them. Lord, help them to see who You are so they can trust You and experience and receive the grace that only You can give. Do Your work in us, Lord, so that we might go out and do Your work, so that You might work through us as well. We praise You, we thank You. To You be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Friend, thanks again for tuning in. Go now. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they'll see your good works and they'll glorify your Father who is in heaven. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you go. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Bye-bye for now.